This is the Sam Obar Show. And now here's Sam Obar.
The Rebel mascot issue has now made it onto the front page of the Boston Globe, across the country on blogs, television networks like CNN. Throughout the internet, the Rebel mascot is now being highly discussed. Is Walpole racist? Well, no, it's not. But is the flag a symbol of racism? Yes, it is. And as many listeners know, this show has been one of the first radio shows to publicly declare that this flag needs to be taken down from Churco Field at Walpole High School. We'll have all the details on this program today, as the Rebel mascot issue is featured in a front page article in the Boston Globe on Tuesday. And for the first time in a long time, people across Walpole are considering calling for this flag to be taken down. And calling, even some are calling for the mascot itself to be changed altogether. Welcome everyone to the Sam Obar Show. Saturday, May 29th, 2010, we have a week to go until the 2010 Walpole Town election, which could be one of the most decisive elections in Walpole history. Issues like biotech, school teacher layoffs, high crime rate, high drug rate in Walpole, too few police officers, a closed East Walpole fire station, and a host of other issues are all at stake in next week's election. And next week, as part of the Sam Obar Show's election coverage, we're going to have Nancy McKenzie, a current selectwoman, on the board, on the show next week, live at 4 p.m., at the Sam Obar Center. She will come on. She will discuss who she is supporting for selectman this year. She has already sent out an email supporting two candidates in the race. She'll be on the program next week to talk about that. She'll also talk about some of the many other issues that her board is dealing with this year. So indeed, she will be a very interesting guest as we cover the 2010 town election in Walpole. And again, you can always go to my website, samobar.com/180 is my blog, and there I will have real-time coverage of the 2010 election results from Walpole Town Hall next Saturday as the results come in. And I will also be, I'm planning to speak to many of the candidates throughout the day, asking how they feel about the results, the voter turnout, etc., etc. So that will be all next week. I look forward to doing that. You can check out samobar.com/180 to find out more details on that. But this week, the big issue that's on everybody's mind, let alone the major election next week as the candidates continue to campaign, this week the major issue in Walpole was the Rebel mascot. It may not have been the biggest issue throughout Walpole, but it was definitely the biggest issue at Walpole High School. The Boston Globe decided to go ahead and put a front page article out with the headline, "In Walpole, Rebels' Pride Still Sparks a Fight." It was on the bottom of the front page of the Boston Globe on Tuesday. And it had a picture of the Confederate flag that a private resident has put up next to Churco Field. And it essentially highlighted the fact that this Confederate symbol near the school, this Confederate flag, is a divisive symbol, basically. And throughout town, there are mixed feelings about this. Now, especially after this article has been published, there are especially now mixed feelings about this symbol. For the first time, people are actually looking at this seriously and considering whether or not this town really should be represented by a Confederate flag. There are some people who are on both sides of the issue and have been for years. There are some, like myself and Mike Amaral and other Walpole residents, and I believe probably most of Walpole, who have said the Confederate flag does not belong as a connection to the Walpole Rebel football team or any Walpole Rebels sports teams that play in Churco Field or anywhere for Walpole. And then there are some who say the Confederate flag is not racist, that the Confederate flag is not a derogatory symbol, that there's nothing wrong with the Confederate flag, and that therefore it should be maintained, and that there's nothing wrong with the mascot itself. And then there are some who are in the middle who point out that while the flag itself may be divisive, the man who has put this flag up on private property next to Churco Field has every right to do that. It is his property, it is his freedom of speech, freedom of expression. However, it is offensive to some people. Now, I will give credit to the Walpole Rebellion, the Walpole High School school newspaper, who did an extraordinary job with this. They were the ones who really launched this whole thing. They put a video up on their website in which they interviewed some students, some teachers, about the rebel flag, the flag being there, and the video was very well done. It received a lot of praise from the local community from both sides of the issue, from people who both favored the flag and who didn't favor the flag. It featured some really interesting insight from students, and even a coach at Walpole High School was interviewed about it. And I believe that's what sort of set off the chain of events that caused the Globe to discuss it, and then the various other blogs across the country have begun taking this on, and I'm going to discuss that in a few minutes. And CNN has put it on their website, NECN, WHGH, Channel 7. They've all discussed this in some form throughout the past week, and it continues to be a major topic of discussion on those various news outlets' websites. But I would give credit to the Walpole Rebellion for doing an extraordinary job with that. Their video was very well done, and you can go to their website, WHSTheRebellion.com, to find out more, to see that video and to find out more about that. They had a poll on their website. Do you think the Confederate flag is an appropriate symbol of the Walpole Rebel of the Walpole Rebels sports teams and of the school itself? And a number of people, almost 80 votes, 71% of those voting, said the flag is an outdated symbol that should no longer be connected with the rebels, while a mere 32 people voted on the website, the flag is an accurate representation of rebel team spirit. So there was an overwhelming amount, there was an overwhelming number of voters in the poll on the Rebellion website who said the resident should not display his Confederate flag as a symbol of school spirit. I was a bit disappointed with the Globe's coverage of this. Their article, I don't think, really was very well written. I don't think they really discussed all aspects of the issue, and they only interviewed two students, both of whom who were in favor of the flag and who believed that, in some odd way, that this was an accurate representation of team spirit. You can read the article to find out what those students said. If you've already read the article, you know what I'm referring to, but there were two students that were interviewed, and apparently the reporter didn't include, not apparently, but the reporter just plain did not include any quotes from any students who did not favor the flag. And you can see, based on the Rebellion website, that 71% of people who voted on the Rebellion website do believe that it is an outdated symbol that does not deserve to be connected with the rebels, the football team, the lacrosse team, or any Walpole High School sports team. The reporter apparently didn't interview any of those students, and if he did, he didn't include them in the article. Whereas Channel 7 did an absolutely remarkable job of not only interviewing the resident who put the flag up, but they also did interview a couple students who said they did not support the flag being next to the field. The Boston Globe was never able to interview the private resident who put the flag up. Apparently he refused comment and did not want to speak to the Boston Globe, but he did speak to WHGH and NECN, and they did both NECN and Channel 7 did an extraordinary job of discussing that issue and showing both sides of the issue, from the resident's perspective to the students' perspectives. But even after all this negative coverage of Walpole that has gone all the way to CNN.com, CNN has featured this on their website, you'd think that with all this negative coverage there would be people in Walpole who would say this flag deserves to be torn down. This flag should not continue to be connected to the rebel mascot. Now, mind you, of course, nobody can order this resident to take the flag down. This is on private property. It is a freedom of expression. He has every right to put it up. But the only way he's going to take it down is if the public puts pressure on him to take it down. He believes that students support it, and indeed, apparently some students do. Probably not the vast majority of them, and certainly not the vast majority of them if they actually understood what the flag represented, which it seems they don't. But if students and the public at large put pressure on this person to take the flag down, I am sure that he will take the flag down if he realizes that in reality the entire community does not support it. Does not support it being connected to our football team, to our lacrosse team, to our soccer team, to our track team, that all use Turco Field on a daily basis. This is a field that is used daily by not only people within the school as a school sports stadium, but also it's used by the community in general. And to have a Confederate flag right next to our field in a very prominent and visible location, that is a very embarrassing symbol, and it's something that ought to be eliminated. And the only way he's going to get rid of it is through public pressure. However, it appears that even after all this negative coverage, even after the very obvious point that Walpole looks absolutely horrible in the court of public opinion right now, even after all that, people in Walpole continue to defend the flag and say that it's not a symbol of racism, that it should be kept up, that it's just a symbol of states that wanted to secede from the Union for the purpose of states' rights. So let me just give a brief, maybe not brief, but a history lesson to all those in Walpole who continue to say that the Confederacy was just a group of states that wanted to secede over the issue exclusively or primarily because of states' rights. The states' rights was the right to have slaves. You can read the Confederate Constitution, which I'm going to read aloud. Here's an excerpt from the Constitution of the Confederate States of America, or whatever they call themselves, the Confederacy. When they split apart from the Union, they put together in a constitution of their own, and it discussed slaves liberally. They used the word slaves liberally, and outlines, among other things, that if a slave escapes from its master, it must be returned to the slave owner. So here's an excerpt. The institution of Negro slavery as it now exists in the Confederate States shall be recognized and protected by Congress and by the territorial government. Southerners, clearly, when putting together their new constitution, intended to make sure that the right to keep slaves was maintained. Now, that's just in the Confederate Constitution. If you read the statements of secession that the various states in the South put together in declaring why they were seceding from the Union, it tells an entirely similar story. It's all about slavery. So let's read Mississippi's Declaration of Secession, which firmly outlined the reason why they were leaving the country. Here's a direct quote from their Declaration of Secession. "Our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery," the document reads. "There was no choice left us but submission to the mandates of abolition or a dissolution of the Union whose principles had been subverted to work out our ruin," the document continues. Meanwhile, in Georgia's Declaration of Secession, they too referred to slavery as the number one reason why they were seceding. Here's a direct quote. "For the last 10 years, we have had numerous and serious causes of complaint against our non-slave-holding Confederate states with reference to the subject of African slavery." The document's second sentence reads. Here's South Carolina's Declaration of Secession, and South Carolina was the first state that voted to secede. They presented a litany of reasons why they felt the U.S. government was encroaching on their rights as a state. But the entire document includes numerous references to slaves, free persons, slave-holding states, non-slave-holding states, and the institution of slavery. It is clear that slavery was the underlying reason why South Carolina seceded from the Union. Here is a direct quote. "The non-slave-holding states have denounced as sinful the institution of slavery. A geographical line has been drawn across the Union, and all the states north of that line have united in the election of a man to the high office of President of the United States whose opinions and purposes are hostile to slavery. the document says, alluding, of course, to the election of Abraham Lincoln as president. The document declares that the federal government had announced that, quote, a war must be waged against slavery. Thus, the document concludes, quote, the slaveholding states will no longer have the power of self-government or self-protection. So it's clear, and that's just a few of the declarations of secession written by the various states that seceded from the Union in 1960 and 1961. That's just a few of them. It's clear from reading just those few that the states that seceded from the Union for the Civil War were all about slavery. It was all about slavery. It was not over preserving the Union or states' rights. From the North's perspective, there certainly might have been many, including Abraham Lincoln himself, who wanted to fight the Civil War to preserve the country, and slavery was second to that. But to the South, to call it a war over slaves' rights is incorrect. It was not a war of states' rights. It was a war of the right, I guess you could say it was a war of the right of those states to have slaves without that being interfered with. Now, here's an excerpt from an article written by Charles Joyner, a professor of Southern history and culture at Coastal Carolina University in South Carolina. And this is sort of a long statement, so I'm going to sort of paraphrase it, as it were. But he basically says, when South Carolina delegates walked out of the 1860 Democratic National Convention in Charleston as a prelude to secession, their spokesman, William Preston, minced no words in declaring that, quote, slavery is our king, slavery is our truth, slavery is our divine right. And a few months later, when the signers of the South Carolina Ordinance of Secession issued their declaration of the causes of secession, they specifically referred to the, quote, domestic institution of slavery. They objected that the free states have denounced as sinful the institution of slavery. They charged that the free states had, quote, encouraged and assisted thousands of our slaves to leave their homes, and those who remain have been incited by emissaries' books and pictures to hostile insurrection. Moreover, in 1861, as President and Vice President of the Confederate States of America, Jefferson Davis and Alexander H. Stephens each candidly acknowledged that their new nation was created for the specific purpose of perpetuating slavery. In an address to the Confederate Congress in April of 1861, Davis declared that a, quote, persistent and organized system of hostile measures against the rights of the owners of slaves in the southern states had culminated in a political party dedicated to, quote, annihilating in effect property worth thousands of dollars. Since, quote, the labor of African slaves was and is indispensable, end quote, to the South's production of cotton, rice, sugar, and tobacco, Davis said, quote, the people of the southern states were driven by the conduct of the North to the adoption of some course of action to avert the danger with which they were openly menaced. That's the end of the quote. In a speech in Savannah, Georgia, Stevens made it even clearer that the establishment of the Confederacy had, quote, put to rest forever all the agitating questions relating to our peculiar institutions, African slavery as it exists among us, the proper status of the Negro in our form of civilization. This was the immediate cause of the late rupture and present revolution. And essentially, Mr. Joyner, who, again, is a professor of Southern history and culture at Coastal Carolina University in South Carolina, ends by saying, after the war had been lost and the lost cause was in need of justification, Davis and Stevens backed away from their original statements, casting the cause of the war in the context of states' rights. Their revisionist interpretation, in which slavery became not the cause, but merely the question resolved on the field of battle, still misleads many South Carolinians. The historical record, however, clearly shows that the cause for which the South seceded and fought a devastating war was slavery. The Confederacy, which is represented by the Confederate flag, which is right now being glorified next to Churchill Field in Walpole, left the United States not because of states' rights, but because of slavery. The Confederacy was a group of states that wanted to continue slavery, and they were upset that they weren't going to be allowed to do that. That's why they seceded. The Confederate flag represents them as a slave-holding group of states that wanted to perpetuate slavery. There is no other way to say it. You read the Declarations of Secession, you read this from Charles Joyner, who is a pretty distinguished figure, if he's a professor of Southern history and culture in South Carolina. You read this very prominently in Mississippi's Declaration of Secession, quote, "Our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery." You read the Confederate Constitution, there is no doubt that the Confederate states were all about slavery. That's all it was. Now, there are some people who say, well, you know, the Confederacy may have banned slavery at some point, and there are some who say the Confederacy was going to do that if Great Britain had joined them and recognized them as a country. There are some historians who argue that the Confederacy would have banned slavery because that would have appeased Great Britain. But that never happened. And indeed, from the beginning, it is very clear from the Declarations of Secession that the Confederacy wanted to maintain slavery. I will not argue with the fact that there may have been some people who fought in the war for the South who thought that they were fighting for states' rights. Many people in the South did not own slaves. Many people probably could have cared less. But the fact is, the Confederate states were formed to perpetuate slavery and to keep slaves and the system of slavery in the South. And the flag that represents them is the Confederate flag, which is right now up for display next to Churchill Field in a very prominent position in Walpole. There is no reason why we should be representing the Confederacy as if the Confederacy is a group of states that we endorse. The Confederate states was a group of states that wanted to perpetuate slavery. That is the end of the discussion. The Confederate flag continues to be used as a derogatory symbol towards African Americans. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, calls the flag, quote, "no less than the noose itself." They further declare that, quote, "the Confederate flag is a racially divisive symbol with, quote, a message of racial hatred, segregation, slavery, and second-class citizenship." The Confederate flag is used regularly by hate organizations like the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, the Aryan Nations. It is used at their events. Its use is promoted by those various organizations. It is still alive and well and used as a symbol of hate. What I would like to know from all of those Walpole residents who continue to believe that the Confederate flag is a reasonable symbol and that it is not racist and that the use of the flag is acceptable in Walpole, I would like to ask those residents, try to find even one time in American history before it was used in Walpole in connection with our sports teams, try to find even one time in American history when this flag has actually stood for something acceptable. I can't think of one. This has been used repeatedly as a hate symbol towards African Americans, as a hate symbol towards desegregation. In the 1960s, it was used as an image of Southern resistance to forced desegregation of schools. The rebels were the mascot of several private schools that popped up throughout the South, so that white kids could go to a private school without having to go to a public school, which were desegregated. So a lot of schools in the South actually had the Confederate flag as their symbol because they were all about white kids only. We don't want to go to a public school because black kids go there. In April 2000, the South Carolina State Senate, after many years of controversy, finally voted to remove a Confederate flag from the top of their state's Capitol building. But in a compromise, the flag was moved down to the front of the Capitol as a memorial to the Confederate soldiers from South Carolina. Now remember, South Carolina was the first state that seceded from the Union, and as we've already said on this program, South Carolina's number one issue for leaving the country was not about slaves' rights, it was about the fact that they could not continue slavery because the federal government and the president did not want them to continue doing that. And in 2007, South Carolina football coach Steve Spurrier, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I don't know who he is, but a South Carolina football coach called South Carolina's Confederate flag embarrassing. Now, I wonder what he'd think if he came to Walpole and he saw Walpole's glorified use of the flag as an implied symbol for our own football team. And if nothing else, the Confederate flag next to Churco Field in Walpole stands for an army, stands for a group of states that fought against the rest of the country, that fought against the North. During the Civil War, Walpole sent a number of Civil War veterans to fight against the army that Confederate flag represented. Glorifying the Confederate flag, putting it up next to our football field, putting it up next to the place where all of our sports teams practice and play, is a slap in the face to the veterans from Walpole who fought in the Civil War. They fought for preserving the Union and eliminating slavery. Those people who defend the flag next to Churco Field, who say that it's acceptable to put it there, are offending the legacy of the Civil War veterans from Walpole. Now, I wanted to discuss the reaction on the internet and the blogs throughout the country to the Boston Globe article and the negative stories and negative coverage that this issue has turned into from the Walpole perspective. SLMnews.com is a pro-South blog. It's self-described as a, quote, pro-South, pro-liberty media effort. They linked to the Globe article, and they gloated about the rebel flag in Walpole and praised the resident for putting it up. Here's a direct quote from a blogger named Palmetto Patriot. Quote, I had no idea that a high school football team in Massachusetts, of all places, would be called the Rebels and that a Confederate flag would be used as their symbol, Palmetto Patriot wrote. He gleefully reminded, and I don't know whether it's a he or she, but Palmetto Patriot gleefully reminded the blog's readers to, quote, notice, too, that student athletes support the flag. The blogger lambasts the Globe reporter by saying, quote, if this story isn't a clear display of the sort of anti-liberty, anti-South bias that is rampant in the media, I'm not sure what is. Now, this is the same type of website, SLMnews.com, that regularly tosses around the idea of Southern secession. The same person who wrote this article about Walpole, Palmetto Patriot, also wrote a blog post recently entitled, quote, Secession Scenario, Here is How to Secede from the Union. So this is a website that regularly tosses around the idea of Southern secession. And now our town is spotlighted on this blog. In a very negative way, we are not a racist community. And I don't like how this blogger wrote Notice, too, that student-athletes support the flag. That is very, very insulting to me. While it may be true, this is very disconcerting to have a pro-South blog mention that a community in the North is in favor of the rebel flag and in favor of what the rebel flag symbolizes, which is a group of states. Again, I can say this as many times as I want, because people still won't fully understand their history, but I'm going to say this again. The Civil War was not primarily over slaves, over states' rights. It was primarily and almost exclusively over the issue of slavery, the issue of whether or not the states could have slaves. Now, SLMnews.com is not the only blog that discussed the issue. The Civil War Interactive Newswire, which provides news about the Civil War in general, with no bias towards the South, linked to the story in the Globe and wrote, quote, "In most other parts of the country, the flag is a searingly divisive symbol of racial segregation. But here, it is also a display of pride for the Walpole High School rebels." Now, how embarrassing is that? How humiliating is that? That we have a prominent Civil War website that covers Civil War news in general in the modern day. They say that in most other parts of the country, the flag is a searingly divisive symbol of racial segregation, yet here, it is a display of pride for the Walpole High School rebels. That sounds embarrassing, that sounds humiliating, and it's really unfortunate that we are getting this type of negative coverage in the media across the country. It's really quite unfortunate. So again, the Confederate flag has never been used to represent anything positive. The Confederate flag was used as a symbol of the split of our country. It was used as a symbol of a Confederacy that wanted to maintain the right to hold slaves. It was used as a symbol of Southern protests to the Civil Rights Movement and continues to be used as a symbol of racist organizations. Any Walpole resident who calls the use of this flag acceptable in Walpole should try to find even one time in American history before it was used in Walpole when the flag has actually stood for something acceptable. I can't think of one, and I would appreciate hearing from you. 508-384-8255, 508-384-TALK. We'll see if we can get your calls today on the Sam O'Barr Show, WGIS Discussion Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about this rebel issue, which has exploded on national media this week. Thankfully, finally, some Walpole residents using common sense in this issue. We'll be back on the Sam O'Barr Show, 508-384-8255, 508-384-TALK.
Choices. Leave more cash in your pocket and improve your office when you purchase office supplies at www.recycledofficeproducts.com, a full-line office and computer supply company located in Peabody, Mass., with over 5,800 recycled and remanufactured products. Your choice, recycled or virgin. Thousands of choices. Unlike the superstores, items ready for prompt delivery next day. We offer printing services, checks, custom binders, indexes, all with recycled stocks and soy-based inks. Check out our extensive programs that we have developed to help you at work and home. Together, we all can get through these tough times. Try browsing our website at www.recycledofficeproducts.com. It's the right choice. Please call with any questions, 1-800-814-1100. Attention, home buyers. The clock is ticking. Time is running out for significant savings. Waiting to buy a home could cost you nearly $20,000 or more over a 7-year period if you time your purchase incorrectly. While the actual impact will vary depending on purchase price, the impact will certainly be significant because of stimulus programs scheduled to end in the coming months. Please call Suzanne Caldera and Shamrock Financial at 800-321-8129 for more information, or go online at www.shamrockfinancial.com. Call Shamrock Financial at 800-321-8129. A better life through a better mortgage. Call
866-927-ROCK.
Beacon Hill Wine and Gourmet is bringing the boutique wine shop experience to the next level. Beacon Hill Wine and Gourmet, conveniently located in downtown Melrose, Mass., is ready to help you explore the world of wine, cheese, and all things gourmet. Featuring a large variety of wines, Beacon Hill Wine and Gourmet offers artesian cheese and gourmet specialties, ranging from truffle butters and oils to fresh pastas and homemade chocolates, as well as entertaining giftware. Add something special to your wine glass, your dinner table, and your life. In-store tastings, commercial and residential private classes, gift baskets, wine education, and much more. From the ordinary to the extraordinary. Beacon Hill Wine and Gourmet believes that fine wine doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be good.
Listen carefully to this message. If you're about to buy hardwood flooring, you're going to pay too much. Unless, of course, you buy from us. We're Lumber Liquidators, and no one, including those big box stores, can sell wood flooring for less. When you buy your quality hardwood flooring from Lumber Liquidators, you save hundreds, if not thousands, every time. Because we buy direct from the mills. We are truly the wood floor experts. To prove it, we'll send you our beautiful full-color catalog absolutely free. Call 1-800-560-8111. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring for less. Solid hardwoods in cherry, oak, and walnut, bamboo, laminates, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 50-year warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. Don't pay more than you have to for flooring. Call Lumber Liquidators now. We even offer installation and financing. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators or call now for your free catalog. 1-800-560-8120. That's 1-800-560-8120. 1-800-560-8120.
When you make plans to see the Pawsox play at McCoy Stadium this season, the best news is kids eat free. From the start of the season through June 15th, kids 12 and under with a box seat ticket at a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday home game will receive a hot dog, beverage, and bag of chips absolutely free. Compliments to the Pawsox and Nesson. Box seat tickets are only $11, so call 401-724-7300 or visit pawsox.com for tickets today. Pawtucket Red Sox baseball, big league fun at family prices.
You're listening to the Sam Obar Show. And now back to Sam Obar.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Sam Obar Show, WDIS-AM 1170, Norfolk, Massachusetts, covering the Rebel mascot issue in Walpole, and more specifically, which has created a huge fervor in the news recently, is the more specifically the Rebel flag that a private resident has put up next to Churco Field at Walpole High School in Walpole. This week, the Walpole School Committee and the Walpole School Department in general, I was not able to get any details on who funded this or who actually directed the sign be put up, but essentially, the school department has put up a sign in front of the flag with a disclaimer. I'm going to read aloud the disclaimer. In 1988, the Walpole School Committee directed the athletic department at Walpole High School to ensure that any Confederate flags be removed from the Walpole High School uniforms, and that teams be instructed that singing Dixie could be hurtful and divisive, and therefore must also be disallowed. Walpole coaches, players, parents, and boosters support this decision. The Walpole School Committee apologizes to anyone who may be offended by the private citizen who chooses to display a Confederate flag in close proximity to the Walpole High School field. It in no way reflects values that we support. And so this flag has been put up on the in front of the fence, in front of the flag itself. And it came out the same day. This was on, what was it? This was Thursday when this sign was mysteriously put up by someone. We don't really know who, in front of the sign, but I guess, again, apparently this was requested by the school department. It came out the same day that the Boston Globe came out with a searing editorial in which they essentially blasted Walpole school officials about the situation. They say, quote, "Even if the name was chosen at a time when pride in the Confederacy and its support of slavery wasn't widely acknowledged as hurtful, the flag causes hard feelings today. Besides, it's hard to avoid the fact that Walpole has no connection to the Confederacy, located as it is in a Union state, not to mention one that was home to some of the nation's most passionate abolitionists." They say Walpole school officials are trying to make things right. They've banned the flag as an official team symbol and apologize in advance to football game patrons for any offense the flag might cause. They could go further, of course, and simply change the name of the team. Or they could take a more creative approach, turning rebel into a term that refers to the geographically appropriate and far less controversial fighters in the Revolutionary War. This is an excellent idea from the Boston Globe, and it essentially sort of lightly hits Walpole school officials for not doing enough, but at the same time, it says you've done a good job so far, but more is needed. However, as a Walpole High School student myself, I don't really agree with the Globe on this. I do believe that the only way this person is going to take down the flag is if he feels that the flag is no longer welcome by a majority of students. A majority of students need to stand up and need to say this flag represents something we are not. This represents something Walpole is not. This is offensive to many people, whether we find it offensive or not. People coming into Walpole, coming to Walpole sporting events, will see this flag and find it offensive, and it needs to be taken down. If people in Walpole can do that, if they can put pressure on this person to take the flag down, it will be taken down, I believe. If this resident believes that the town no longer supports him, it will be taken down. School officials should stay out of this, in my opinion. They have done more than enough. Their disclaimer before the games is fine. Their sign in front of the flag is fine. They've done their job. This is not an issue that school administrators can change. This is an issue that students need to change. Because if the school administrators step in and micromanage the situation and demand that the name be changed, demand that students accept name change, demand that students accept the Confederate flag not being officially associated with the team anymore, which of course it is not officially associated with the team anymore. If the school officials step in and take this situation into their own hands, students will not accept it. Students want to be able to lead this themselves. Students should be able to lead the charge on this. They should be able to take this on and ask, as a student body, for the name to be changed for the benefit of their students. They don't want people going to a game to see the flag as a distraction so that they won't see these athletes playing on the field and doing great things. It is a distraction to people who come from out of town and see this flag. They think Walpole is racist. They're not sure what to think about this flag. They see the name Rebels. They see the flag. It doesn't go together. It is a very bad recipe for disaster. And the town looks terrible when this flag is put up next to the field by a local resident. But the only way he's going to take it down is if the students take the charge on this, take the lead, and ask the guy kindly to take the flag down. There's an ongoing signature drive to get students at the school to sign a petition calling for the flag to be removed. That signature drive is going to go into full force this week, I'm told. And students will be asked to sign a petition respectfully requesting that the man show his rebel spirit in other ways, perhaps by showing up for a game. I don't think I've ever actually seen him at a game, although I don't actually usually go to Walpole football games, but I'm under the impression he doesn't go all that often. Perhaps if he went to a game and showed his spirit for the Walpole Rebels, rather than putting up a rebel flag that is highly, highly offensive to many people, whether or not he personally finds it offensive. So this is not the first time that this flag has become an issue in Walpole. And this is not the first time that the mascot itself has become an issue in Walpole. In 1988, a New England Association of Schools and Colleges visiting committee came through to Walpole High School, and they were on a routine accreditation visit to accreditate Walpole High School. It was in the 10-year accreditation process in Walpole. They made a visit to Walpole High, and their report indicated they were concerned about the use of the Confederate flag. This was from 1988. Here's a quote from their report. Quote, although the football team's use of the symbol of the Confederate flag may not be in the visiting committee's jurisdiction for evaluation, the committee felt that it should comment. Regardless of how innocently the symbol evolved, or even if the community of Walpole looks upon it as a symbol of pride, spirit, and unity, the use of the Confederate flag may be inappropriate due to its historical ramifications. And it was at this point that all Confederate symbols were removed from Walpole athletic uniforms and apparel, although apparently Confederate flags still are, and still were at the time, but still are to this day, waved at Walpole sporting events. And the flag right next to the field is evidence that people still cannot let go the fact that the Rebel mascot is supposed to be connected to the Confederacy. Now, I have written on my blog and in the Walpole Rebellion website extensively about the history of the Walpole Rebel mascot. I have written extensively about the issue, about how it came about, how the Confederate flag got connected to it. You can go to my website, samobar.com/180, to read all of that. It's all up there. I have an extensive discussion about it. You can go to samobar.com/rebel to find out specifically about the issue. There's a picture up of the flag. There's articles that I've written. There's the NEASC committee report. There's letters to the Walpole Times regarding the Rebel mascot. There's school committee discussions about it from 1993. The Boston Globe article, everything is up there on my website, samobar.com, and more specifically, samobar.com/rebel and samobar.com/180. That's all up there at samobar.com, and I encourage you to visit and to find out more about this issue and to state your opinion on it. You can email me at obar@wdisam.com. That's obar@wdisam.com. to comment on this and state your opinion on this very interesting issue that has really divided the town, I would say, in the past week, and should have been eliminated in the first place many years ago. This flag should have been specifically removed, and this resident should have not put this flag up in the first place, and I'm surprised that so many people in Walpole support him putting the flag up. It's unacceptable. And it's obnoxious, and it's offensive to not only people in town, but also out of town. And it does not represent Walpole accurately. Walpole is not racist, and we are not Confederate sympathizers. I wanted to take this opportunity to also discuss the next week's program, in which I'm going to be interviewing Nancy McKenzie, selectwoman from Walpole. She wrote an email this, I believe it was this week or maybe it was last week, she wrote an email endorsing two candidates for selectmen this year, Mike Berry and Eric Krause. She believes that the current board of selectmen is not doing good work at all, and she blasted the work of the current board. She believes they're not supporting her in her own agenda, and she believes that the board needs a change. Most notable about the email that she sent to her supporters, calling for Mike Berry and Eric Krause to be voted for, and calling for her supporters to vote for the two of them, is that she did not support the incumbent candidate who is running for re-election this year, David Sullivan. She did not support him, which is notable, considering that they're both members of the board, and I do wonder what their relationship is like. In fact, both of them have a connection through the Walpole Police Department. Nancy McKenzie's husband is a Walpole police officer. David Sullivan is a former police officer who has a daughter who is a current police officer. So they're all connected through the Walpole Police Department, and I can only wonder you know, what their relationship is like and why Nancy McKenzie did not endorse Mr. Sullivan. So we'll have Nancy McKenzie on the program next week. That's not the only discussion we're going to have. We're also going to talk about her stunning and, frankly, in my opinion, unfortunate decision to reverse the trash cap. Earlier this year, about a month ago, selectmen voted to limit the amount of trash that Walpole homeowners could put out curbside. And Nancy McKenzie voted in favor of it first, and then a couple weeks later she voted to rescind that vote, revoke it, basically, because she felt that there was just so much public opposition to it that she felt that she needed to revoke it. So Nancy McKenzie essentially said that she got calls from people who made legitimate arguments about why there should be no trash limit. And I believe that, of course, there are always going to be people who are against the trash limit. The Board of Selectmen has to be able to make decisions and be able to stick by them. The Board of Selectmen made a decision. They should stick by it. They should not take back their vote after it seems like they're politically vulnerable. So that will be a discussion we'll have next week on the Sam O'Barr Show as well with Nancy McKenzie. Next week, Walpole Town election. Polls are open basically all day, and we'll have all that coverage on the Sam O'Barr Show on Saturday at 4 p.m. I'm going to be speaking to all the candidates throughout the day, and we will have an ongoing discussion of the election throughout that show at 4 p.m. on the special edition of the Sam O'Barr Show on June 5th, 2010. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Sam O'Barr Show, WDIS, AM 1170. Sorry I couldn't get to any of your calls this week. A lot to talk about with the Rebel mascot, and it just one, you know, in one final comment on this program, I just want to say, Walpole, it's in your hands now. You've seen the Globe coverage, you've seen Channel 7's coverage, you've seen all the coverage. Is this really the way we want to be representing our town? Whether or not you find it offensive, whether or not you think it's a racist symbol, do other people find this racist? Yes. Many organizations, many people find this offensive. So is this the best way, the most appropriate way of representing Walpole when people come to Walpole sporting events at Turco Field? In my opinion, this is not an accurate representation of Walpole. This is a derogatory symbol, it's racist, and the flag needs to be taken down. And I would urge my classmates at Walpole High School, their parents, the athletic boosters, and residents at large to pressure this resident to take down the flag. I will not argue with the fact that he has the freedom of expression, the freedom to put the flag up. But the reason he puts the flag up and the reason he's kept it up is because he believes the Walpole community supports it, and because he believes that the athletes, the student athletes at Walpole High School, support it themselves. Clearly, they don't. I hope they don't, because if they do, they don't have a proper understanding of American history. And it's really unfortunate that so many people would defend this flag and allow it to be up next to Turco Field. So please, do your best to pressure this resident to take the flag down. It's for the good of the community. It makes the town look a whole lot better. And this is embarrassing news coverage that we want to avoid. We have now had one embarrassing news story after another. In the past year, we have had an athletic director who resigned because of rape charges. That was on the front page of the Boston Globe. That was covered heavily by the local and national media. And now, our Walpole football program is once again in the heat for something that's negative and bad for the town. I urge my classmates at Walpole High School and every Walpole resident to try to get this flag taken down any way they can. Get this guy to take the flag down. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week on the Sam O'Barr Show, WDIS, AM 1170, Norfolk, Massachusetts.